Hi, everybody. I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister.
Should we change our intro so it's easier for Bailey to remember?
No, I like how it's a little bit different each week that she does it.
It's a different word I enunciate.
Sarcastic.
I'm just making sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. God.
Yes, and you did a great job.
I did a lot of French pronunciation for this, well, a good amount of it for this episode, so I'm trying not to butcher names. You'll see in the middle, I gave up.
Are you taking us to France this week?
No, I'm taking you to Canada.
Oh, you've fooled me.
Honey. In Canada for your last episode?
Who did I do last time?
The world will never know.
There was a hotel in Canada.
Yeah, but that was like part of the disturbing destinations.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't know this took place in Canada. It was kind of just happenstance. This is also in the French side of Canada, which is why we're going to be talking in some French words that are great.
Not we. Not we. We. Just you.
All right. Great. Should we
jump
right into it? I am telling you about the Ant Hill Kids cult. Oh, and
love a cult story.
Yeah, we love a cult story. And their leader, Rush Thirault.
So, I thought, because I saw the title saying Ant Hill Kids, I thought it was like, Lacey, what's the book about like
Lord
the kids
of the Forest?
Yeah, I thought it was them. That's what I was picturing.
It's book club.
You know, I think that's a good thought.
But then you said cult, and I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, which we're gonna have to put out a surprise, surprise, a warning for the listeners, just because it's gonna get really dark. There's a lot of torture and even some child abuse in this episode. So,
I was just thinking, do we have to warn? Like, we'd be warning them every episode. We don't talk, like, there's very little that we talk about that's like happy,
safe.
Yeah, but this is a different level. I'm gonna preface that. So, yeah.
Bad torture.
Got yeah. It. Like, when I was first researching it and I got to, like, one of the later events, I was like, it shocked me.
The girl that was in that lady's basement. Remember?
Gertrude, yeah. Yeah, Gertrude and Sylvia. Sylvia Likens.
That was particularly on that scale. Same or worse?
I'm gonna have to go with a little bit worse.
Mentally prepared. Yeah.
Not for the kid not for the kids, but like for
others.
Overall. Yeah, okay. It's probably a little bit worse. Anyway, so Rouche, was born May 16th, 1947 in Quebec. His parents... What?
He's a Taurus.
Yeah, what's that mean?
I don't know.
Okay. His parents were Pierrette and Jacinthe. His father was Jacinthe and was a house painter, while his mother, Pierrette, was a homemaker. Roche was the eldest of seven children. He claimed when he was an adult that he was abused by his father. However, there was no evidence or like any type of investigation conducted to like prove this abuse. However, a neighbor, Leon Vachon, made a statement to a local newspaper that he witnessed a game between Rouche and his father. The game was called Bone. Does anyone want to take a guess at what it like entails?
Probably something horrible.
Animal bones? Are there animal?
No.
Oh.
Is it a
sex
thing?
On the spectrum of what we're going to get into, no. On the spectrum of what we're going to get into, it's not great as a parent to play, but like it's not the worst.
No. I have no
essentially guesses. The game, it was the two of them would sit at a kitchen table with their boots on and kick each other as hard as they could until one of them eventually gave in.
Okay.
So like
I guess if you're both willing.
Yeah, but like not the best thing to do to your child. But no, you know.
But a way to get out some aggression towards them.
And just break a shin or something.
A game where we kick the shit out of each other.
There's a table in the way. So, you know, there's Vachon, the neighbor, also stated that Piriet screamed at all the seven children constantly. Yacinthe, the father, refuted this claim numerous times. He said that as a child, Rouche had never complained about his family beyond how a child normally complains. So.
I have two things. First of all, the neighbor is the one who told him about the game?
Yeah.
Is he, like, poking through the window?
I don't know. It's Canada.
And also, I'm sure to the neighbor it sounds like the mom is yelling constantly, but she's got seven fucking kids.
I like, would also be yelling constantly.
It's probably very loud in their house.
His family...
I think the neighbor needs to shut up.
Okay. We'll tell Leon that. Mm-hmm. His family were devout Catholics. Yacinthe was a member of the Barrettes Blanc, which is a Catholic fringe group known for its fascism and conservatism. Piriet forced the family to go to Catholic Mass every Sunday. Rouche became obsessed with the last book in the Bible, the Book of Revelation, which describes the biblical end of the world. At 13, he dropped out of school. The town school actually only went up to 7th grade, so like he dropped out or finished. Tomato, tomato. This time, he became obsessed with the Bible, this time specifically the Old Testament, which is widely regarded as the most violent part of the Bible, with every book within it speaking of a tale of God's wrath and the upcoming battle between good and evil. He started combining the Old Testament and Revelations to validate his idea that the apocalypse would be coming soon. But I also saw at the same time, like while reading about him, that he started to hate Catholicism. But if you're using the Bible, how do you hate the religion that's for...
Some people are crazy.
Okay. That's fair. Not much is known about his teen years. The only thing I did find was that he randomly displayed signs of aggression, including violent outbursts at friends and family members. In his 20s,
In this photo, it looks like somebody yelled his name and then took a quick photo. And he was in the middle of saying, "What?"
That's his blue steel.
Is it?
Oh, no.
I didn't say it was good. I said it's his. So in his 20s, he started his first marriage. Francine was a woman from a nearby town. She was 17 when he was 21 and they were married. They had two sons together, Rouche Jr. and Francois. He was very controlling over her, taking great interest in what she would wear. Francine was to dress modestly in public, covering up, and wearing long dresses. But like throughout the relationship, he would flip-flop and demand that she wear immodest clothing and like mini skirts. So he contradicts himself a lot.
Maybe it was more about the control that he had over her.
Probably. Eventually in
Being
1977, Roche and Francine would divorce and she would move away from him with the sons.
good.
Roche developed a strong interest in human anatomy after he had undergone surgery for a stomach ulcer. He started collecting scientific anatomy textbooks. We're going to remember that part.
Yeah, that's not what you like. Want to hear.
Yeah. He joined another Catholic like subgroup called Armis Club. A short time later, he got kicked out of it after attempting to become the leader. After that, he converted to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which they have some very strict rules, like they abstain from drinking, smoking, drugs. And I saw online that like some of them even go as far as like clean eating, like a vegetarian diet. Rose enjoyed the strict rules and was known to enjoy being a member. He was still married at this point, and him and his wife were active members. He organized meetings and seminars for them, followed their beliefs to the letter, and even changed his name from Roche to Moses.
Good.
Not a red flag. He was very charismatic and good at persuading others, but he wanted control, and his behavior, you'll see, begins to get like increasingly bizarre. He started smoking and drinking, which is not with the church. And at this time, his wife divorced him. Around the age of 30, he convinced an entire group of people to quit their jobs and form his religious following, like the Seventh-day Adventist, but containing a commune and the truth. That was in at seven that was in seven 1977, and their commune was free of sin and stood for equality and unity.
Good.
They moved to a remote plot of land nestled deep within the wilderness in Quebec. At this time, like in like religion and everything, there was it's called like a New Age movement taking place. Which it introduced a new age of religious practices where the usage of old philosophy teachings and morals were in reintroduced and changed in order to fit the new ideas of Western Hemisphere. So like it's the 70s, there's a bunch of cults, like people are like branching out with their spirituality. So like he was able to move these people to a commune looking like more like a fanatic and like a believer and like with the like new age and stuff instead of a cult leader. So he kind of was able to like hide from any suspicion at this point.
He took advantage of the movement.
The following year, in 1978, he was excommunicated from the Seventh-day Adventists on the grounds that he had attempted a coup by forming his own group.
I love that he keeps getting kicked out of places because he keeps like trying to be in charge.
He is
Well,
a
now
natural leader and he knows it.
he is in charge. And with that power, he's going to do great things.
Just
Starting
like
with what?
I was gonna say just like Spider-Man with great power comes great responsibility.
Oh my God. Get out.
Different, two different people.
Get out. One of his great things that he did was he forbade his members from contacting their families.
Good.
People, hold on a second.
It's not a red flag.
People outside the commune and anybody from the Seventh-day Adventist
Well,
Church.
yeah, they betrayed him.
Exactly.
He's power hungry and also a petty bitch.
Oh, it gets worse. Like, yeah. And then he gets even more petty that members can't talk to each other without him present.
What?
Wow.
He's nosy too.
Sound like such a fun group to be a part of.
He sounds like a very like insecure teenage girl. Like, you guys can't talk without me there. I need to
Yeah.
know what you're talking about. Are you guys talking about me behind my back?
Exactly what it is.
So at this point, he told his followers that he had visions and had spoken to God, who had apparently informed him that the upcoming apocalypse would take place February in 1979, so like a year after they settled. To prepare for the apocalypse, they moved to a commune in which he called Eternal Mountain, located in Saint Jagod, along the sparsely populated Gaspe Peninsula, which, if you go to the next slide, Drew, it's right like above Maine on the map. Yeah.
Okay.
It's right
What?
there.
Where?
Where
What's
the
it?
dot
Oh.
is.
I was looking right above Maine over here.
Jesus Christ. He would claim that they would be saved from the rapture there, and he had his followers make their small town or the commune while he just relaxed.
Well, if the shit rolls downhill, if he's at the top of the hill, no shit for
He's
him.
busy seeing visions, okay? He can't build.
He
Yeah.
can't see because he's busy having visions.
Exactly. During construction, he named the group the Ant Hill Kids after he compared the group laborers to ants, as they were constantly working together for their town, just as ants constantly work together for the anthill.
Feels
Which,
a little demeaning.
yeah, I wouldn't be happy about
My good little worker ants
that
building my town for
either.
me.
But like one of the articles that I read, like they were like taking the time to explain like why cults do this, and like when you put a name to it, it makes a sense of belonging. So like
Makes
I can
sense.
get it in the like, but like yeah.
I mean, I already have better, like I already feel better about this.
Yeah, it feels
Before I was
better.
kind of like, but now I'm like, oh.
Oh.
Stay with that feeling.
Oh no.
As the commune got set up and everything, he got stricter and meaner. He started spying on his followers.
They're
When
talking
someone
about
didn't,
him.
I mean, yeah, when someone didn't seem devout enough, he would punish them.
Good.
If someone
Just by
ever
playing
wished to
bones.
leave, if someone ever wished to leave, he would become enraged, hit them with belts and hammers. He would also suspend them from a ceiling and would pluck each and every hair on their body individually, or he would defecate on them.
Okay,
So a
so
range of
it's a wide
strategies here.
range. Yeah.
The stringing them up and plucking every hair feels very like torture coded. But then also he'd shit on them sometimes. So
Yeah.
my thing with the plucking is like that feels like more torture for him.
Maybe he's very detail oriented.
I'm detail oriented and I don't want to pluck anybody. Like, I don't even want to pluck
I'm
my
so
own hair.
glad.
I get mad if I need to pluck an eyebrow. Not because it hurts, because I don't want to.
It's
It
tedious.
takes too long.
So during all this, in January 1978, he remarried to his longtime mistress, Giselle.
Sure.
You went too far.
Why?
Because Giselle's in there, but so is others.
Oh, so are those all his wives? Does he marry all of them?
Maybe.
I mean, we didn't know
You
that
know, he
before.
was
It was
such
just a
an
picture.
appealing person.
Oh, he and Giselle had been together through his previous marriage, and she was one of his true believers. So
Believe,
everything's fine and
okay.
dandy. Yeah.
I was gonna say believed in what, but
Him
the
and he could
apocalypse,
talk
I
to
get it.
God. Yeah. So everything's fine and dandy, like things are going great. He's torturing his like members and everything and followers. And then February 1979.
Sorry, just more questions about this torture.
Yeah.
After he was done plucking them and shitting on them, did they, like, stay?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
I don't like to victim blame, but sometimes I want to. You know what I mean?
It was definitely a choice to stay.
It was. It's gonna, you're gonna see that it's gonna be a lot of
you know
fear.
What? You know what, Lacey? You need to think about it this way. He just plucked all their hair. And look at where they are.
You know how expensive it would be to go get somebody to do all that?
I'm saying that they're cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to stay with the group where it's warm.
Mm.
Because they're completely hairless in Canada.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So February 1979 comes around. Does anyone want to guess what happened?
The apocalypse?
Murder.
No, the apocalypse.
Yeah, I mean, did it though? Like, don't you think?
I don't know. I wasn't born yet, so.
So it didn't. Nothing happened.
But he talked to God.
He did.
And God said it would.
Yeah. Just. You're gonna love what God says next. His followers began to question him, believing that he was a liar and a scammer. So he got so mad, but he came up with a really simple and like reasonable explanation.
Mm-hmm.
He said that it was, first of all, it was blasphemy in God's name to question Theault. And he explained that there was a major difference between God's sense of time and the human sense of time.
But didn't God tell him, like, a specific date?
Well, it was a simple miscommunication, miscalculation, but it was still coming. It just, and we needed to prepare.
Oh, so, like, God was like, it's gonna be here in, like, 40 months, and he was like, oh, well, that's February. But
his misunderstanding.
Or, like, God shot him a text, and it was, like, to the wrong person.
There was an autocorrect type situation. Yeah. Okay.
Happens.
I'm sure nobody was skeptical about that.
I mean,
everybody was like, you know what?
Accidents they fully happen. Believed. Yeah. I mean, they were like, you know what? That makes sense. He probably heard him wrong, you know.
It's gotta be difficult communicating with God.
Who are we to judge? We don't know. Maybe God's just not a really good communicator, and like you have to like really work it out of him.
Maybe it's like he's speaking a different dialect, and they need to translate it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll never know.
No.
So Theault realized the fragile system he created with people at first second guessing him. So he needed more leverage over the members. What better way to do that than get new members, ones who are born inside the cult?
Ah, so smart.
Which,
how did he do that?
Hold on.
Okay.
Having children in a cult is a very powerful tactic for cult leaders. When you raise a child within the cult, they don't know anything else in the world besides that environment.
Plus, the women you have them with are now connected to you in an extra way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Theault thought it was the best to start this process by taking another wife.
Mm-hmm.
Or eight. He married 9 women who were in the cult, despite many of them already being married.
Was he, them? I'm sorry if you said this already, was he known for being, like, super charismatic?
Because,
like, I feel like we hear that about cult leaders, and sometimes you can see it when you learn about them, but I'm looking at this guy. Yeah, the crazy eyes.
I think they're filled with compassion.
He doesn't look like my typical image when I think of a cult leader who's, like, real charismatic and has all these wives.
It's not usually described as it, but it's hard to see it through, like, what we know of
him.
He
must have been. He's got 9 wives.
I mean, he must have been able to.
How many wives do you have?
I have no wives, so, you know, he's better at this than I am.
Yeah, Lacey, back off.
That's just fact.
Ooh. All right. So he told his followers that all the women he had slept with were now exclusively his wives. And he impregnated them and would eventually father 23 children.
Lovely.
He claimed divine authority and performed brutal acts of violence, all in the name of religious purification. He became abusive towards anyone and everyone, abusing the children, even his. There were some accounts that he was beating the devil out of them.
Mm-hmm.
He would punish his members with hammers and blunt objects if they disobeyed him. If they questioned a lesson he taught, they could be beaten with a hammer until their bones broke, or suspended from a ceiling. If after a day of selling baked goods, which they sold baked goods and like crafts and stuff to make their money, if they missed a quota, the punishment would be severe and demeaning. He would force members to break their own legs with sledgehammers.
Holy Jesus.
Shoot each other in the shoulder. Eat their own or others' feces, insects, or rats. And at one point, he nailed children to a tree and then forced other children to throw rocks at them.
He nailed them to a tree?
I don't like to victim blame, but sometimes I want to. Not the children. It's not their fault, but there sure are a lot of moms here who are hanging out. Lacey, not the kids. I want to clarify that.
How are you going to victim blame the children?
The moms who are watching their kids being nailed to a tree and are like, this is the way of the world.
Yeah. I gotta be honest. I love my husband, but if he tried to nail my children to a tree, I might have a thing to say.
Yeah. You might not even stay with him.
Yeah. So you remember his like interest in like human anatomy and like how he collected textbooks and stuff?
Unfortunately.
Oh no.
He started to perform surgeries on the members.
Sure.
Leaving many with missing limbs, teeth, eyes, or whatever else could be removed.
I'm sorry. Like, what? Like, why are they still there?
That's what I'm saying.
He's already been wrong about the apocalypse.
It sounds like there's no benefit.
And you said that, like, some people started to question that. But then he gave, like, a half-assed answer, and they were like, okie dokie. And now he's nailing children to trees.
Shitting on people.
Making people break their own limbs with sledgehammers. And now he's just, experimenting on them surgically.
Sometimes you learn about cults, and you can understand how people were tricked into staying. But, like, there's, like, no benefit here other than, I'm going to assume, living out on your own and not following whatever worldly rules you feel like people have to follow.
I would rather follow the worldly rules than be forced.
Break my own leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't understand. Yeah. Where is the line? At what point do people say, you know what? Maybe this isn't the right place for me.
And how do people like him always find these people who are willing to put up with it?
I think they're just really good at it.
Also, Lacey, I just want to point out, he tried before and failed, remember?
That's true.
He kept trying to become the leader.
I do feel good about that. There were other people who were like, no, even before he got this bad.
I love the story where he like tried to be like take charge of like the first church he was at, and they were like, get out of here.
I think the thing with this group is that they're secluded, isolated. They were already like on some form of like very strict like religious like beliefs with the Seventh Day Adventists. I think fear plays a lot into it, because like if you try to get away and get caught, like
he's crazy.
He's very creative.
I know. I don't know if you've mentioned it at all, but I know that it typical of cults is like where the leader will have them give all of their like sign over their assets to him. So, like, if they did leave,
That's
they would
true.
have nothing.
That too.
Feel like they'd have a police report.
With his surgeries, some would be left brain dead or clinically dead. He also had no numbing agents or sedatives, so members would be awake during the procedure and just simply held down by others.
Can you imagine if you were like just eating breakfast and you walked in and it was like, I'm going to remove your, I don't know, liver today?
Hi, yeah.
Like, oh, good morning. I
He
just woke up an
also,
hour ago.
he didn't have like surgical supplies, so he would use like pliers, kitchen utensils, stuff like
I'm not
that.
surprised by that at this point. It's like the least surprising thing you've told us about him.
So in 1980, a new member joined. His name
Oh,
was Guy Veer.
is he the hero of the story? No.
We'll find out.
Because he was an outsider, he was told to take care of the young children who were unrelated to Theot. So, like the children born from other people, not his kids.
What does
Veer
take
had,
care of mean?
like, watch over.
Oh, okay. I didn't
Yeah,
know
like
if it was
basically.
like a the
No.
mafia type of take care of.
We're gonna take care. No.
Well, 'cause then you said he wasn't related to them. I was like, "Oh no, he wants to kill the kids that aren't his."
Like lions.
Yeah, but I think he's still one of them because it's still like minds that he can like corrupt.
True.
Yeah. Anyway, Veer had previously seen or previously had been hospitalized for depression and had found out about Theot on the TV apparently and then decided to join. He was the first member, the first new member since 1977. So this group has been together for 3 years, very close-knit and everything. He displayed erratic behavior, causing the other members to be cautious of him. They refused to allow him
Cautious of
to
that guy.
they refused to allow him to live in their main living quarters, so they had him sleep in a shed on the outskirts of the commune.
They can only handle one crazy man.
One crazy at a
Yeah.
time. Fair.
His crazy didn't match the odds crazy though, so it's different. On March 3rd, Veer was watching over the children. Theot was celebrating with the other members while his two sons had come to visit. His first sons,
The
Rush
one
Jr.
that
and
left with his
Fr
17-year-old wife.
Yes. Veer was annoyed, not feeling like he's not like getting accepted and everything while watching these fucking kids, I'm sure he said. So he tried to go to sleep. However, a 2-year-old named Samuel was upset and began to cry. Veer snapped and screamed at Samuel to stop crying. He picked him up and got into his face. Samuel continued to cry, being that he's 2 years old. Veer got more enraged and started to beat him nearly to death. Gabrielle, one of Theot's wives, stated that Samuel had difficulty urinating and a floppy head as a result.
Oh.
The next morning, Theot heard what happened and was determined that he needed to perform surgery on Samuel.
Sure.
He cut his extremities to help him urinate. But then he actually injected the boy's stomach full of isopropyl alcohol, thinking that would help him. Samuel would be dead by the next morning due to blunt trauma and bleeding out.
So, all right, hold on. A couple things to unpack here. You said he cut his extremities
To help him pee.
I don't know the logic there.
Well, so no, my question is it the extremities that we think of as like our hands and feet type thing, or is it like, did he cut his penis?
I'm not sure.
Because that's technically an extremity. It's coming off of the body.
Yeah, I know. I'm not really sure.
I mean, that would be more logical to me than cutting off his leg to help him pee.
Yeah, but true.
Yeah, but Logic left the chat poured, a while ago.
He poured isopropyl alcohol in his stomach. Like, that's gonna fix it.
I'm just gonna Google that real quick. Oh, it's flammable.
Isopropyl alcohol?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, you could have just said rubbing alcohol without your big fancy words.
Oh my god. You work at whatever. So Samuel was dead. His mother didn't seem to care when she heard the news. She just carried on with her chores that morning.
Well, she can go right to hell with him.
She might have, in her defense, Lacey, she might have been so traumatized by everything. She's just like numb to everything. And then also it could be, you know how like sometimes when rape victims are forced to carry their kids to like the product of the assault to term, they kind of resent the child.
Yeah, but this wasn't one of his kids, because this was one of the kids that the other guy was taking care of.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, this wasn't the odds kid.
I'm going to say that she was so traumatized that it was just more shit on the shit sandwich.
All right. So Theot ordered Samuel's body to be cremated. But they ended up just burying his charred remains on the land somewhere.
So they tried to cremate him and was like, actually,
it's a little hard.
Yeah.
I would assume so. So Theot blamed Veer for the death of Samuel and demanded justice. This is another weird thing that he did. Instead of, you know, like, punishing Veer, like, he punishes everyone else.
Yeah, for, like, attacking this kid.
Yeah, he set up a trial for Veer. Where Samuel's father was the judge. Giselle, one of Theot's wives, was the prosecutioner. And another follower named Claude Woulette was Veer's defense attorney. And Theot's remaining wives were the jury. Veer managed to get himself off the charge by reason of insanity due to his medical history. This obviously wasn't what Theot wanted and overruled the trial's validity?
Validity.
Yeah. He created a new jury of 10 people, one of which was his eldest son, Roche Jr., and held a new vote. They found him guilty, and Veer's punishment was castration.
Oh, nice.
Veer fought this punishment, but miraculously, Theot convinced him to go along with it. He explained to Veer that there was a hierarchy in the cult and explained that Veer was a slave because he was not castrated. And if he agreed to it, Veer would truly become a member. So what, like, Veer is wanted and he wouldn't be on the outs anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure he came at him in a different way, but I like the idea that he was like, listen, there's a hierarchy in this cult. I'm at the top, you're at the bottom. I like that he called it a cult in my head.
So Veer was fine with it. Well, not fine with it, but he allowed it.
He was super okay. He was like, yeah, totes, dude.
Theot, of course, did the surgery, botched it completely, but miraculously, Veer lived.
You would think that after a while, he would start getting good at surgeries.
He only has a few people to practice on, though, and like.
And he keeps doing different ones. I think if maybe he picked one surgery and practiced, he'd get good. But
just get good at it.
Diversifying.
He's gonna master appendectomies.
So shockingly, Veer was continued to receive bullying and beatings. He was also he had a few attempted murders on himself numerous times.
Why?
I don't know. In November 1980, the same year he joined, Veer escaped the commune, went to the nearby town, and told the residents of a dead baby He conveniently left out the part where he nearly killed Samuel and blamed it on, like, a horse or something. So with that being reported, the Canadian government sent police to raid the compound. They found the charred remains of Samuel and immediately arrested Theot, Samuel's biological parents, and took 7 children from them and placed them in foster care. They gave the parents of the seized children the chance to leave the commune with their children or surrender them to foster care. All 7 children were surrendered to foster care.
Shocking.
After an examination, Samuel's death was ruled non-accidental due to bruising and mutilation. Which, they must have not charred him. Like, they must have not done a really good job, like, setting him on fire or trying to cremate him.
Yeah,
for like, them if you to be can able see to find bruising,
evidence.
Yeah.
He was... They probably, like, put him on a bonfire and was like, well, that's gonna take too long. It's really, it's sad because he's a 2-year-old child. But, like, I don't know.
Yeah, the intelligence here is laughable. Many of the members were charged with either murder, obstruction of justice, or criminal negligence. After a 9-month trial, it ended with 6 cult members being, or 6 cult members, including Theot, being guilty but punished lightly. Veer would be found guilty, but he was acquitted as he was deemed mentally incompetent and would be sent back to a mental hospital. Theot was given 2 years and 3 years probation. The remaining members, what?
I was going to say, that's all you need.
Yeah, you know, that learns the lesson.
I feel like that's enough.
I mean, if anything, it's a little, like...
Too much?
Well, you know, whatever.
Like, ease it on.
Yeah.
Settle down.
The remaining members wanted to be close to Theot while he was in jail. So they found apartments and housing close to prison. So even, good. Like, while he was, like, away and they had the opportunity to leave or, like, not be with him, they still stayed. Eternal Mountain.
Devoted to you.
Don't ruin that song.
Yeah, I also don't know how much of that I could have said without a copyright. Anyway.
It's awkward. Eternal Mountain, where they lived, was abandoned, and the police went to set fire to the compound.
I hope they did a better job than the compound did with cremating that kid.
Theot did well in prison. He kept to himself and began to plan his next actions. Prison actually sobered him up. If you remember, he was really bad drunk. And he planned to regroup with his followers. He wouldn't maim or mutilate his members anymore.
So nice of him.
He really turned a page.
Nice.
He was released in February 1984. He was reunited with his group, and they moved to Ontario. It was a group of 9 women, 2 men, and some children. They built several cabins and furniture, grew veggies to sell along with handcrafts. But they started having difficulties with money, as they were having difficulty selling the goods that they had years before. So Theot instructed his people to start stealing from the grocery stores in town.
Sure.
In February 1985, members were caught with over $450 worth of groceries on themselves. They were never charged with theft, but they were banned from shopping in town. Eventually, their financial situation stabilized until Theot turned back to alcohol. And, you know, all those, like, I'm going to be better. I'm not going to, like, maim and abuse my members. Yeah. He said, fuck that, and started becoming paranoid, sadistic, violent, and cruel again.
Sure.
It's really hard.
It is. So this time, he introduced a new game to his followers called Gladiator Tournaments. Oh. Where he forced his members to strip down and fight for their lives in a dirt circle. He particularly loved it when the women did this.
Why?
I don't know. For the children, For one instance, he tried commanding an infant to stop crying. It didn't work. So Theot ordered the mother to leave the baby outside during the winter for the night. The baby was dead by the morning. It had froze to death.
Shocking.
This caught the attention of the Children's Aid Foundation, which is essentially CPS for Canada. They raided the compound, seized 14 children, and placed them in foster care. They didn't bring any charges to the cult. They are only focused on taking care of the children.
Why?
Not the one that had died.
They left a baby in the cold to die, and they're like, we're not worried about charges right now. Like, the police, nobody cared.
Lacey, they didn't leave the baby outside to die. They left it out there to teach it a lesson.
That's true.
It wasn't listening.
Intentions matter, I suppose.
Yes. It was, if anything, negligent homicide or manslaughter. Definitely not murder.
Murder.
So, you remember how Guy Veer had that trial and, like, he had his own, like, attorney, sort of?
Mm.
Well, Claude Ouellette was Veer's chosen attorney, was now Theot's new target for rage. Claude's punishment was to suffer genital mutilation, then castration. After that, he was put on trial again, which I don't know why Theot thought this was a good idea, because it never works out. And Theot really wanted the group to decide to stone him to death. It was decided against, and Theot was enraged and threatened Ouellette with more mutilation, but Ouellette actually was able to get away and flee into the woods. Upset, Theot stabbed Giselle, his wife, in the thigh with a knife, ignored her wounds while she pled for help. She healed and escaped from the cult for a little while, stayed with her father, but ultimately returned because she had been so isolated within the cult for so long she didn't know anything else.
But she got out.
Then we go to one of his other wives, named Solange.
How do you say Beyonce's sister's name?
I don't know.
Lacey?
I don't know. Beyonce's
anyway,
sister.
So in 1988, Solange, that's what I'm calling her, complained of abdominal pain. Theot decided that he knew the cure, and she was to undress before he began punching her in the stomach.
Oh. That's, yeah, when I have pain in a part of my body, I like when somebody punches me there.
As an EMT working in a hospital, I can say that that is like the go-to.
Yeah, that's where you start.
Yeah.
He then performed an enema with a plastic hose, olive oil, molasses, and water. Which I will say, as someone that like gives enemas like to like cats and animals occasionally, molasses is a weird choice.
Molasses felt like a weird choice. I didn't want to comment on it because I'm not a medical professional, so I'm glad
you opened the door for us. Like water and like olive oil I can get because like it adds like lubrication and everything.
Oh, okay.
Molasses is a weird choice.
Yeah, feels weird.
Maybe
then,
it's the color.
Then, with the same tube, he put it down her throat and blew through it to help the other way.
The GI tract is just one big tube, so.
Essentially.
He's
on the right
wrong.
Track.
Yeah.
Did he clean the tube, though? Doubtful.
Listen, it was her own body.
Then he had her lay down on the kitchen table and he cut into her stomach, forcing another cult member to pull out some of her intestine before he ripped a piece of tissue out and then decided to stitch her close.
I feel like he is what you would get if you had somebody with serial killer tendencies who found people who were willing to let them experiment on their bodies. know what I mean? Like, I think if he hadn't gotten his cult and he was just on his own, he would have ended up being a serial killer.
I'm just like, this poor girl was like, my I have a tummy ache. And he was like,
I know what to do for you.
Let me punch you a couple times. We'll see if that fixes it. No? Let me shove some random shit in your butt. Didn't work. I'm gonna blow through a tube in your mouth. That should work. No? I'm gonna cut you open and just take some tissue.
Take everything out of there and that should solve it.
Which I think it was like later believed that she had appendicitis.
Did he help with any of that stuff then?
No. Soulange died as stomach acid seeped into her organs.
Hmm. I guess he wasn't careful.
Yeah. Upon losing one of his wives, especially after he like performed one of his life-saving surgeries, he was really depressed.
Sure.
He attempted suicide several times, once with Tylenol, until he came upon a really, like, important revelation. That he could resurrect her.
Oh. Great news.
So talented.
So he had two of his male members drill a hole in her head, and then he had them desecrate her corpse in the hole in her head. And then he had the two other male members do the same. But that didn't work to bring her back. So he took one of her ribs and wore it around his neck as a little memento, and then they just buried her.
Okay.
I feel like I find myself asking for the logic in a lot of what he does.
I don't have it.
I don't think there is any.
Yeah, that's what I'm coming to realize. There doesn't seem to be much logic to anything he does. Oh. I mean, at least she was dead already.
Yeah. Next, we get to Gabrielle LaVie, who was another one of his wives. She suffered probably some of the worst abuse that he dished out. After Solange's death, she had eight of her teeth ripped out of her mouth. There's possibly two reasons for this. One is some say that he did it because she didn't meet her daily quota for selling baked goods, so teeth need to come out. Or others said that it was because she complained for a toothache.
I wouldn't complain about shit around this guy.
Yeah, I would be. Nothing would be bothering me ever.
Theot would also stab her for minor offenses, often targeting her hands, which just feels, I don't know, I just, like, stab me in the arm or something, but the hands is just a little bit more horrific for some reason.
He broke off right through, maybe?
I don't know. I think it's just because there's, like, so much, like, close together, like, tendons, blood, like, vessels, bones, and everything. I don't know. He broke off a hypodermic needle in her spine during a surgery, and then took a blowtorch to her legs and arms.
Blowtorches are often used in the hospital.
Yeah,
I think usually there's also, like, anesthetics. Anesthetic. Mm. That's not the word I'm looking for, is it?
Yeah.
He didn't have anything to knock him out, right? So he's just blowtorching her while somebody's holding her down. Anesthesia, thank you.
And anesthetic works too. Anesthetic.
Yeah.
She tried to escape, but could not live without the colt and went back. Theart took this as a good sign to cut off one of her fingers, nail her hand to a table, and then amputate her entire arm. He then took a hunting knife and started amputating parts of her breasts and smashing her head with an axe. This time, she fled and she got away and ended up in the hospital. The staff at the hospital called the police regarding her injuries because it's not like she fell.
Yeah, it looks like she was attacked.
Lucky to survive that.
They interviewed her and she told them about the commune and the cult. LaVie even attempted to make excuses for her mutilation, passing it off as some kind of accident, but the police didn't believe her.
Smart police.
When the police raided the commune, they found it empty. Ziad had fled based off the last time he let someone get away. He knew that people were probably coming for him. The other members fully left the cult, returned to their families and or the streets of Canada. Police searched for 6 weeks before finding him and arresting him. He pled guilty to the mutilation of La Vie and would earn 12 years in prison. He also was found guilty for the murder of Soulange in the second degree, which I want to know how they got to that. And he is the only member charged with the murder and would earn life in prison in 1993.
I think because it wasn't his intention to kill her, he was trying to help her. It's not his fault he has no medical training.
Right. In 2002, he was denied parole. And in February 2001, one of his fellow inmates, Matthew McDonald, who is a 60-year-old convict serving a life in prison for a murder, killed Theot.
Oh
Apparently, in prison, Theot managed to anger most of his fellow inmates.
no.
He liked to talk about his crimes that he committed, particularly the ones involving women and children.
That's a good way to get yourself killed.
Yeah.
I thought
McDonald
you were going to
stabbed.
say that he was trying to become the leader of gangs.
Could you imagine?
He
I
just
was
walked up and be like, "Hi,
being
I'm in charge now."
rejected.
McDonald stabbed him to death, walked up to a guard, told him that piece of shit is down on the range. Here's the knife, I sliced him up. McDonald was already serving a life sentence, so like they in Canada they didn't like add anything to him, so it was kind of like a free murder.
That's your freebie.
You get one. Roche Moses Theot died at 63. Funny enough, in February, when he thought the world was going to end too.
Oh, his world did.
It did.
Maybe
And
that's
that is.
what the confusion was with God. God was like, it's not the whole world, it's just your
It's just
world.
yours.
And then when he started to tell everybody it was the whole world, God was like, well, I'll postpone it for a bit because you're just spreading misinformation, you stupid.
I wonder if God ever was like, keep my name out of your motherfucking mouth.
I like to think
So
that
many
God is
times.
a sassy person.
Me too. And that's the story of the Anthill Kids.
Wasn't what
Well,
I
good
expected.
grief.
I also
That
had kind of a Lord of the Flies thing when you first said
was.
it, but
Well, because I think when, like, I don't know how they settled on kids, because, like, he at least was in his 30s. When it started.
Yeah. Well, didn't you say that he called them that? Because they were like
Yeah.
little worker ants. I feel like it
Well,
probably made him
that's how
feel
he
negative
got, like,
42 to call them all
yeah, that's how he got the
kids.
name, the Anthill. And then I don't know why he chose kids instead of people, but.
It was him calling them kids adds like a sense of authority.
Maybe.
He's in charge of the kids.
Yeah, like kids is like kind of demeaning. Well, that was something.
Sinister. Yeah, I'm sorry. So funny enough, I originally like I was like, oh, this will be a quick like little one, like we haven't done a cult, like this will be perfect for a bonus episode. And then it was one of those things that like I didn't realize how much went into it. And here we are an
That's a
hour
good
in.
length.
Yeah. So 10 Bundy is getting pushed.
Oh.
Which honestly, Ted might need to.
I could see that.
Is Ted Bundy getting pushed off a train?
Well, he's dead, so yeah.
The case that I was going to talk about next week kind of has like a connection to Ted Bundy.
Oh.
It's okay.
Oh no.
It's not gonna
Do another
spoil
one real
anything.
quick.
Huh?
Do a different one real quick.
No, it's not gonna spoil anything real quick. All right,
All
let's
right. Well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.